built into Facebook?
Huh?
Is it the app that's built into Facebook?
No. Separate app? Yeah, I don't even know. It's built into Facebook, yeah. Maybe they changed it. All right, it's Parshas Kisiso. Very interesting and initially very long Parsha. So the second reading details the golden calf. First we start with the Luchos, as we learned about yesterday, and then the golden calf and the aftermath. Moshe Rabbeinu is literally unceremoniously booted out of heaven, and he has to deal with the reality to be. The Jewish people are first defended and then punished and then defended again. We hear about Moshe Rabbeinu's prayers going up the mountain a second time for 40 days. We hear about how things were at the foot of the mountain. And actually, the end of the second reading takes us all the way until just about the time when the Ohel Moed will start to function. So the third reading returns to the events of the 29th day of the year 2448. At this point, so God informed the people that he would no longer lead them directly. And Moshe Rabbeinu was not happy with that. And so he begins to request a change of things. He doesn't like this. So the Jewish people are not going to be annihilated as God had initially promised, but he's not going to be with them. Hashem says, that's it, I'm done. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to God like this, and this is how Shlishi opens. Chapter 33, the 12th verse. Vayemir Moshe el Hashem. Moshe says to God. Right. I mean, these four words are not unusual, per se. The next few words are very unusual. Re'ei, see here. Well, look. Ata oimer elai, you're telling me, ha'al esa'om hazeh, raise up this nation. Now, that's strange. Who are you talking to? See? Look. Look here, God. Like, you and I could have a conversation with somebody. I didn't notice that. I didn't realize that. Ah, okay, fine. Now that you pointed it out, I'll reconsider. But God knows everything. Why would Moshe Rabbeinu say, look, like, this is a construct of human speech that seems to have absolutely no place in a God-person conversation? And then Moshe says, Ata Oimer Eli, you're saying to me, Hala Salmazer, you're telling me this is my responsibility, right? You take up these people to the land of Israel. But Va'ata Loyomar Lohidaita Isashe Tishlachimi, you didn't tell me who my partner is, who am I working with? Vata Marta, and you did say to me, Yidaiticha b'shem, that you, meaning Moshe, will be granted recognition, and Gamat Sasichein be'inov, that I had also found favor in your eyes. So there's a lot of things going on here in this verse. The first thing that happens in this verse is God speaks to Moshe. Okay, that already sets us up now. So we know God is talking to Moshe. Pardon me. Moshe is talking to God. So it's not just a regular conversation. Moshe is talking to God. You have to have that in mind. Moshe talking to God. So God is the recipient of this conversation. He's the interlocutor, if you will. And what is the first thing Moshe says? See here. Why is he saying that? What's up with the see? Look here. And then he says, you said to me, Ata Oimer Elai, you're saying to me, Hala Samaza, bring up this nation, which will soon see means bring him up to Israel. But you didn't tell me who you're going to send with me. So you gave me a job, but you didn't tell me who I'm working with. And the next part of the verse is, but you told me that I would be granted recognition above all other people. In other words, that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to approach the presence of God at Har Sinai differently than everybody else. And God says, like, I'm going to be known to you by name, almost like we're on a first name basis. And that you said, I have found favor in my eyes. Okay, so what does that have to do with anything? What's the ve'ata amarta? Moshe speaks to God, look here, you gave me a job, you didn't tell me who my partner is, but you told me that I was going to be special. Okay, you are special. You're leading the people. You're getting a special partner. But you didn't tell me his name. Okay, so I'll tell you his name. Like, there's like a choppy cadence here. What is going on? Let's take a look in Rashi. So Rashi says, Re'ei ata oimer elai. Rashi says, look, Lashon Re'ei, the language Re'ei here, right? It doesn't mean look as if something could be seen with physical eyes. That would make no sense if you're speaking about God. Like, but God doesn't learn of things, didn't know about it. Now, when I show you this, now you look at it. See? Now you're looking at it. It can't be understood in that fashion. So what was Moshe saying to God then? So Rashi says what he was saying was, Ten eincha v'libcha el dvarecha. Put your heart and eyes to your words. Ata imrelai, you're saying to me, raise up this nation. How am I doing that? Va'ata loyhidetani. You didn't tell me who I'm going to be working with. So how could you tell me to take up a nation and you still didn't tell me who's going to help me? Okay. So God will tell Moshe. He says, Asher amarto li, you said to me, Hine anochi sheleach malach, I'm going to send an angel before you. Rashi explains what Moshe was really saying is, Ein zu hoidoya. This is not making the kind of knowledge that I'm looking for. This is not the kind of relationship that I crave or seek. Ein ani chofetz ba. That's not the friend I'm looking for. I'm not looking for a partner. I want your presence. I want you and only you. So this is not going to work for me. Now, Rashi is explaining ostensibly the words, Re'ei ata oimer alai. So we have a hard enough time trying to understand why Moshe tells God, look at this. So Rashi makes it easier by telling us. He did not only tell him, look at this, he said also, set your heart to it. Now, how did that become any easier to understand? How did that simplify things when initially he said, look, we said, God doesn't have eyes. Oh, Rashi says, it doesn't just mean look with your eyes, it also means set your heart. God has no heart. And then Rashi introduces something which ostensibly the Pasuk doesn't say. The Pasuk says, you told me I'm going to take up the people. Okay, I'm prepared to take up the people. And then you didn't tell me his name. So Rashi says, you didn't tell me his name really means I don't want to know his name. I don't want to have this partner. I only want you. Well, that's not exactly what it says in the Pasuk. Clearly Rashi is explaining the Pasuk to us because it can't be that's Moshe Rabbeinu's issue. Can't be his issue, don't know his name. You don't know his name, so please tell me his name. And what does that have to do with the fact that God said to Moshe, you'll be known, my presence will be with you? So the very fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is a kind of framing this by Va'ata Hidaitani, you told me. Va'ata Amarti Daiticha B'Shem, I'll know you by name. So the fact that Moshe is kind of framing his request, which could just be simply the request to know the name of an angel, by saying, but you told me you'll be known to be my name, clearly means that the request is not just knowing the name, because the rest of the Pasuk doesn't make sense. If we're to understand the rest of the Pasuk, then we have to say, what was Moshe looking for? Well, look at the case he makes. The case he makes is, you said that I would be known to you by name. You would be known to me by name. I'll know you first name basis, so to speak. And that I found favor in your eyes. Okay, so you don't have to find favor in God's eyes, and you don't have to be on a first name basis to get to know the name of the angel that God is going to send. So clearly, oopsie doozies. Who did I offend?
Interesting. An angel.
So clearly, it cannot be simply a question of what's his name, but rather, I don't think I want to know his name. This is not the path I'm looking for. But then again, it starts off with, look here. It starts off with, set your eyes and your heart. So how does setting your eyes and your heart dovetail into this business of, I don't want a partner, I'm not interested in a malach, I want you. Nothing but you. I want a straight, intimate, personal relationship with only you, God. So we're going to come back to this soon. Let's take a look and see how Rashi explains. Va'ata amarti yadaiticha b'shem. What does it mean that Moshe says, God said he would know him by name? So Rashi explains it this way. This is what Moshe was saying to the Almighty. You said to me, Hikarticha mishar bnei adam, that I would be distinct, I would be granted recognition differently than all other mortals. This would not be a typical human-God relationship, a different kind of human-God relationship. What does it mean, b'shem? B'shem chashivus, with a name of prominence. In other words, sharei amartali, you told me, you said, I'm going to come to you in the thick, I guess, acrid, or heart of the smoke, of the cloud. And you said they will believe in you forever. So there's something unique about Moshe that isn't found with any other Jewish leader subsequently. There's something about the relationship between God and Moses. It's a unique relationship. And like even in Halacha we say, Mashiach will be an amazing person, but in prophecy, he'll be second to Moshe. Nobody will have the prophecy of Moshe. So in that case, you set me aside and made me different. So that's how Moshe makes the case. Therefore, I should have different privileges. This should function. This should work differently. So some of the other Mefarshim, when they speak about this business of Re'ei, like look here. So Ibn Ezra says Moshe Rabbeinu was like appealing for like Rachmanis, like, God, look at my situation. Like, I'm supposed to lead these people and like, give me a malach, like, I can't do this. Like, look at my situation. Like, it doesn't work. The Sefarno maintains that look here is like saying, Moshe pleading for divine supervision. And he's like saying, do not hide your face from me anymore. Like, let's end the Hester punim. Let's end the concealment. We should have this straightforward relationship. Sadi Goyen says, look here means, you know what I said, or you know where I stand. But again, it doesn't really answer the question of look here. And what's the meaning of Vata loy haidaitani is asher tishlachimi? You didn't tell me whose name you're going to send me with me. So Ramban says, you said you're going to send an angel. Who is this angel? And maybe it's the angel who you said Shmi Bikirboy, which by the way is called Matatron. Is that the angel? So Ramban says Moshe Rabbeinu was almost like wondering aloud. Loy haidaitani, you didn't tell me his name, but you told me I would know you by name. Does this mean it's the angel who has God's special name, who carries God's name? Okay, really? So according to Ramban, he reads this verse straightforwardly. Moshe Rabbeinu wants another name, and he says, but you told me I'll be known by name, so he's gunning for a particular angel. The problem, of course, with that is that the subsequent verses don't bear that out. The subsequent verses are Moshe Rabbeinu saying to God, and God saying to Moshe, I will be with you, not the angel. So Ramban's interpretation of this verse sits really well with verse 12, but it doesn't follow through in verse 14. And of course, Rashi always looks at the bigger picture. Rabbeinu Miuchas, he suggests that Moshe says, if I'm going with an angel, I need to know who I'm working with, but it doesn't do anything for anybody, really. And clearly Rashi doesn't follow that because it doesn't explain anything. The Daz Zakenim, the Bali HaTosfos, have a very interesting way of explaining this verse. They say that there is nobody in the world who doesn't have an angel. So everybody's got an angel. Have you heard the expression a guardian angel? Everybody has some kind of angelic energy force with them. So Moshe says it's almost like, what did you give me? Like, what changed? Everybody has an angel. So what did you tell me? I'm going to have an angel with me? I had an angel before also. like you didn't do anything for me. You said I didn't have an angel. I had an angel before also. So what? The Sefarno says, I know that there are angels in Israel, but I'm not sure if there are angels in Ontario. I don't know. He says, I know in Israel there's a special supervision. You didn't have angels with them. I don't know. Here we're on the desert, and that's the whole point of, according to the Sefarno, it says, who you'll send with me. That's for the journey going to Israel. So I don't know who will accompany us on the journey. That's what he's talking about. The Or HaChaim says, yeah, he kind of follows Rashi's approach. He says, I know you want to send an angel with me, but I don't know the angel. I don't want to know the angel. And he says, you said I would know you? Okay. Moshe wants the presence of God. It's like kind of like Rashi's approach. And the Abarbanel, based on the Rambam, says, you said to me that this nation is stubborn, stiff-necked. I'm ksheirif. So if this nation is stiff-necked and very stubborn, so then I need to know your ways because I got a troublesome people here. And I have to kind of mediate between them and you. So you better tell me more about you. That was Moshe saying. I want to know more about you. because if I'm going to have to work out the relationship here, I kind of know the people. I know it's going to be a tough lot. I need to know more about Hashem. So sending angels is not going to help me to know more about you, but ultimately it's not a relationship with the angel. The angel is just a messenger. It's a relationship with Hashem. I need to know the ways of Hashem so I know how to kind of mitigate the circumstances or give and take to know how to work out this continued relationship between God and the Jewish people. So really and truly, no matter which way you look at it, this is a difficult verse to swallow. It's just a difficult verse to understand. And truth be told, on some level, the verses in the belly of Parshas Ki Sisa are some of the most difficult verses in the entire Torah. Because they're deceptively simple. They seem to be a casual conversation. They read in simplicity. But remember, this is God speaking to, Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to God. And God's response. And Moshe Rabbeinu asks for the most extraordinary things. There is no documented conversation anywhere in which anybody has such a forward relationship with God, makes such demands of Hashem. And Hashem doesn't dismiss Moshe. He responds to Moshe. Doesn't always give Moshe what he wants in this conversation. Moshe asks, God responds. He wants to know all the secrets. God says, I can't tell you all the secrets. And this is very heavy stuff. So there's a fascinating commentary from the Rebbe, which I think kind of illuminates this verse from the perspective of Rashi. The Rebbe kind of focuses on the very unusual expression of place your eyes and your heart al dvarecha. It's like we had a difficulty with one body part. God doesn't have body parts. All body parts that are spoken of with regard to God are anthropomorphical, they're not literal. God doesn't have hands or nostrils or eyes or ears. So he said, see, that's weird. Look, what should you look with? God knows everything. You have to look, because you didn't see it yet. But God, it's like, he doesn't have to learn of anything. So Rashi added another body part, like an emotion. He said, okay, not only you should see with your eyes, you feel with your heart. And it's a very unusual expression. Ten eincha v'libcha. It's very unusual. Almost never we speak about God's heart. So the Rebbe suggested that in order to understand the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, the way Rashi explains them, what was Rashi thinking? How did he view Moshe Rabbeinu's request and words? You have to see it through the prism of Scripture. You have to see it. So where else in the entirety of Tanakh is there a mention of God's eyes and heart? And the Rebbe says there is one mention of this configuration, eyes and heart. There's discussion of God's heart. Very early on in the Torah, God looks at humanity and he was sad to his heart. But only one time are eyes and heart put together. And this is found, very interestingly, in the book of Kings, in the 9th chapter, where God says to King Solomon that V'hoyo eini v'libi sham kol hayomim. God says to King Solomon about the first Beit HaMikdash, about the first house of Hashem, permanent residence, actual address, God says, my eyes and heart will be there kol hayomim, all the days, meaning for posterity. God says, my eyes and heart will be there all the days. In other words, the Rebbe says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoideh v'atzma yishkem v'beis HaMikdash tamid. God's saying to Shlomo HaMelech that the essence of God's presence, whatever that means, the Shechina, the presence of God itself, will be there continuously, always, for posterity. Now, when you say always, and you're talking about a relationship, what do you mean, obviously? Think about this. If people stand under a chuppah and they pledge loyalty to each other, right? It's a young married couple say, I'll always be there for you. What does it mean, always be there for you? I'll be there when everything's great? When we're getting along? Did you have to say that? Why did you have to say we're getting along? When you say always, in the context of relationship, what does it mean? It means even when there's reasons that the relationship shouldn't flourish, I'll still be there. I'll always be there means even when the chips are down. You know when you find out who your real friends are? When things aren't fantastic. You know what people value above all else? Loyalty. And there ain't much of it out there. There's a lot of disloyalty. People are fair weather friends. You're playing my game, you're popular, I have something to gain from you, sure, I'll be your friend. Your chips are down, you're not popular, things aren't going well, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Why should I throw my lot, tie my lot to yours when you're sinking? I don't want to be in a sick bed. But that's the difference between real friendships and fake friendships. That's the difference between real relationships and fake relationships. A real relationship, once it's established and once it's nurtured and once it's, the commitment is made, it's a commitment forever. Forever means through good, through bad, through thick, through thin, through pain and joy. So God says to the Jewish people, through King Solomon, he says to Shlomo HaMelech, I'm going to be there. My eyes and my heart, Eini V'libi, will be there kol hayomim, all the days. What does this mean? It means, Gam bizman shebnei Yisrael, Einom noyagim koroi. It means even when the Jewish people are not worthy of God's presence, when they're worthy of God's presence, so of course, what's the novelty? They're worthy of God's presence. The point here is when they're not worthy of God's presence, when they're behaving inappropriately, badly, when God should say, this people, this is not my people. My Shekhinah can't dwell here. V'avtocha zu. And it is this promise that Mahava Chizuk L'drishasa Shol Meshachan. This is what brings about, so to speak, establishes the power of Moshe Rabbeinu's request. What is Moshe asking for? He's asking Shakadosh Baruch Hu B'chvoidi V'atzme Yitztaref L'bnei Yisrael B'masom, that God should promise and commit to Moshe to be with the Jewish people in their journeys, regardless of what happens. Because Moshe knows this is not going to be an easy one. There's a journey ahead. And guess what? He was right on the money. An eagle was just the beginning. The Mishnah says. They tested God 10 times. And there's a question, which are the 10 times? Which means it was even more than 10 times. Just which are counted as the 10 times? Whether it was not wanting to go to the land of Israel, whether it was the rebellion of Korach, whether it was kvetching, where's the beef? Whether the kvetcher said, where's the water? They continuously vexed Hashem and they continuously tested and tried and pushed things to the limit. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoidi v'atzmei should participate in this journey. V'lo yistapik b'shlichas malach bovad. What Moshe Rabbeinu is asking is don't just send an angel, we want you. Now, well, the way that Rebbe explained this, now you go back to Rashi and you see that literally it just sings off the page. So what is Rashi saying? He says, "Ei ata omer alai." What Moshe Rabbeinu meant to say, not look here as if you need to see this. See this, look into this. Oh, come on. Like put your heart. No, it's not put your heart. Moshe Rabbeinu here, when he says the word "Ei," he makes clear what his request is. He's not asking really for the name of the angel. He says, I don't know his name. I don't want to know his name. You said I would know you by name. Moshe Rabbeinu is, if you will, for lack of better terminology, cashing his chips in. He's saying to God, "Ata amarti yedaticha b'shem." You told me I would be known by name. You told me, "V'gamat sasichem be'ino." You said I found favor in your eyes. If I found favor in your eyes, then this is my request. So if Moshe finds favor in God's eyes, what does he want to use it for? For the Jewish people. It's not for me, he says. If I found favor in your eyes, then promise me you'll always be with the people. And that's the A. The A is the eyes and heart businesses that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking for the presence of God. And now we understand how Rashi doesn't follow the other Mefarshim, especially not Ramban, who seems to explain this in a straightforward iteration, because ultimately what this verse is really saying is we don't want anything other, says Moshe, than an up-close, intimate, and personal relationship with God. No angels, no intermediaries, Hashem himself, always, even when things aren't good. And this was the request of Moshe, and I have good news for you, my friends. God agreed. He acquiesced to this request. He said he would be with us, and Hashem is with us. And even in a time when it's Anochi Haster Aster, when Hashem seems to hide his presence, which is the allusion to Esther and today's Purim Katan and all that stuff. But we know that even in a time when God's presence seems not to be with us, it's not really true. Hashem promised he would always be with us. He is with us, and we hope and we pray that we will be able to see this in a manifest way, even more remarkably than during the days of Shlomo, with the rebuilding of the third and eternal Beis HaMikdash. B'mheira, will be Amenu. Amen.